All right, so let's open up with a word of prayer and remember what we're here for and to support each other and encourage each other, okay? Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to come together as a real family. Family we can depend on each other, joke with each other, and share concerns with each other. Lord, I really uphold a pastor right now because this could be concerning in an extended period of treatment. We pray for wisdom for doctors, patience for pastor because we know him. And he has a lot going on. Lord, we just want to lift him up and his family as he continues to, we want healing and patience for him. And Lord, we think about our congregation here, the challenges, the sicknesses, the traveling. Lord, we want to encourage our congregation in meeting together like tonight, upholding each other, encouraging each other as we continue in this community, but not just here. We have outreach around the world, and IAGM is is important because now we've met these people, and we realize they are family to us, and we really care about their success and their safety wherever they may be. And some of our missionaries are in real places of danger. And we just don't know what you have for them and how to pray sometimes. But we want them to enjoy the fellowship that they have with the people that they serve, but the safety and concerns of the area they're in. So Lord, just bless this time as we open your word and have some thoughts and questions about it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so Pastor called me while I was on the road and said, hey, we've relied too much on Jason, so guess what? You're up. He goes, you're up. I go, sure. That's okay. All right, so I got a little book that I received from my mom after my dad passed. And it's got daily devotionals and readings in this little book. And I keep it on my desk at work because occasionally you just need that, okay? Because when I get up in the morning, I'm thinking about work, and I'm not thinking about taking a second. But when I get and sit down at my desk, and things are, then I think about, okay, I got this little book. And I admit I don't get to it every day, but I can see it there, and I go, okay, I got to get to that. And it's just really good, just practical stuff, and it's written by, you know, some people with knowledge that I don't have, okay? So I need my glasses if I'm going to do this. So today's reading was in Matthew, and it's about the feeding of the 5,000, but that really just goes over what the message was. So go to Matthew 14. We'll start at 13, and I'll try to run through this without stumbling. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew. And this, he's talking about John the Baptist getting beheaded. He withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from towns. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. I wonder, when you read things like this, why isn't more said about how many people he healed? We go into the reading of the 5,000. What a miracle. But what a miracle of the healing. And it just shows, it really just shows, that's not me, by the way. It really just shows his compassion, okay? As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is in a remote place and already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." How about that? He just, hey, make it happen. Okay? It sounds like my friend Menzo. Just get it done, you know? "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes," they answered. Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down in the grasses, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those that ate were about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. So, just a couple of notes. Does anybody think about this the way it's written? How did Jesus speak to 5,000 people? I need a mic for 14. How did he do that? I don't know. Did he wander around within them as he's healing and teaching and speaking? I don't know. I want to know. There's not enough there. But maybe that's all we needed to know. Okay? All right, so a little blurb that was written by Thomas Hale. Do you know, anybody heard of Dr. Thomas Hale? He was a missionary surgeon to Nepal. Okay? For like 25 years. First he was, I just want to say it, he was an army doctor. Army. Not Marine Corps. Not Air Force. Okay? He was an army doctor. But he and his wife was a pediatrician. He was a surgeon. They take their 4-year-old and their 1-year-old, and they go to Nepal. How about some faith there? Okay, so he's written a couple of books, and I don't know which book this is taken out of, but it is kind of interesting. The watchword for us all, no matter where God leads us, will be love. Love is the one quality the world can discern that sets Christians apart and makes Christianity distinct from other religions. If we fail to act in this truth, we will lose our right to be heard and will enter the post-Christian era for good. What is our own personal role to be as we face the uncertainty of the coming years? The problems of overpopulation and hunger already upon us are too great even for governments to handle, let alone individual Christians. It is one thing to minister to a handful of hungry Nepalis. Nepalis. Is that how you say that? Nepalians? Nepalians? It says N-E-P-A-L-I-S. Nepalis? Nepalis. You don't know. Come on. You're like, I'm looking at you. You're a librarian. Oh, okay. The Nepali. Okay, all right. We'll go with you. Never ask a librarian.
I'm not a librarian.
Oh, okay. At the Nepali, hungry Nepalis at the door and giving them food, money, seed, or a job. But when individuals become multitudes, what will we do? It seems that God is telling us simply to share with them whatever we have, and when it runs low, try to get more. And when there is no more, to leave the issue with him. He is telling us to enter into their suffering without concern for the outcome. He is reminding us that whatever we have done for the least of our brothers, we have done for him. You know, I think he takes that from Matthew 25:40 there. We cannot, as some do, restrict our interpretation of brother to mean fellow Christians alone. We wince at to hear Christians refer to much of the agony of the mankind as the judgment of God. It may be, but it is not for us to say or even to think. There are moments when we long for Christ to come again and feed the multitudes, not 5,000 only, but 50,000 or even 50 million. He could do it. Those first disciples had only 2 fish and 5 loaves, but they gave him all they had. It is not the word to us today to give him all our loaves and fishes, to give him everything we have. Then, who can say what we would be able to accomplish in our time here on earth? So I don't know if Dr. Hall is still alive. He'd be about 82, 83 years old. He stayed in Nepal for 25 years with his wife. The one report, or I kind of looked him up. He and his wife made $44 a month. And when they went in 1970, $44 a month. I don't know how. They continued with 2 kids. But isn't it something when we kind of look at some of those things that others have done, and then I complain about a couple of shingles off my roof. And then we have a young lady here from Ukraine who is feeding how many families were in the house? She said there was,
I don't think she could keep track.
No, there's tons of people in and out. And truthfully, we got 2 empty bedrooms in ours. The thing is, in my mind, I say things like, I give. Do I give enough? Does this church give enough? Do we support enough? I don't know. I went to a couple of verses that, Paul in, he repeats a passage in Psalms, but if you go to 2 Corinthians 9:9, and he's talking about cheerful giving, but I'm just going to read 9:9. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, how did Paul know this verse from And I got the little things in the middle of my Bible saying where that came from. It comes from Psalms 112. And you got to say, wait a second, he didn't have a Bible. He didn't have scripts in his pockets. He didn't have chiseled stone. He knew his Bible so well. So much better. And I got the whole thing. And I got the blue letter thing in my phone thing. He had everything, and he had it all in his head. And now I know, you could say that, okay, the Holy Spirit brought it to his attention. No, I don't think so. I think he studied, he memorized, and when it came to write it down, yeah, the Holy Spirit said, yeah, okay, you've done the work. Boom. I'm just saying sometimes I'm compelled to say, what am I doing? And don't you ever say that to yourself? Because there's times that I would say, hey, they got themselves in that situation. I'm done. And that's not what's written. You know what I mean? All right, I've gone grocery shopping with someone that lives in my house, and all of a sudden there's food that's in our grocery cart that doesn't go to our house. It's a mystery. Stays in the car and it goes to school. I don't even think about that. I wouldn't even think, I better put something in the grocery cart for somebody else. I'm glad I have somebody in my house that does that. No, it's not Kyle. I'm not here to challenge you. I read this today to challenge myself. It's a new year. I need to challenge myself. I need to do a couple of things. Babette says I need to lower my blood pressure, but, you know, they got medication for that.
It's more chicken wings.
Yeah, that's what I think. But should we be challenging each other? And can I tell you to challenge me, and will you? And I hope I don't give you the rolling of the eyes. All right? Pastor today, when he called me, he said, there's something wrong with my eye. I wanted to say, cry, baby. But no, I didn't. I did not. He goes, you know something? Can you help out tonight? I hope I said yes quick enough. You know, but because that's a challenge from somebody else to do something. Oh, crap. So. But I think that's what we're here. I think that's what we're here to do. Okay? Encouragement to each other is a challenge to each other as well. Okay? So I'm gonna ask you, continue to encourage me, and challenge me. I figured he'd say something.
Oh, he will probably after 104 messages. Yeah.
I kind of put that together. For me, because I read that this morning before he called, and I just wonder, have you got some thoughts? What do you think we should be doing as a congregation? Are we doing enough? And sometimes I wonder, could we do more? I know this. I know this family down the street here. I talked to him today. They're gonna struggle, and I got nothing. So we got people that we can help out, and they're gonna need some help. So that's what I got. So if you got some comments, go ahead and make them. But the thing that I have is we are a small group that has a big impact, and I'll say it's from our leadership over the last, how long we've been here? We've been here almost 20 years now? No. 15? No? I don't know when we left. I don't know when we left. 15? Maybe. I've been able to sit under some good teaching from some really good pastors. But this group here, and I'm going to say, my friend Menzo was good at it too. This group here, okay, the leadership here is really challenging, okay? And I think that's what we need. I really do. Okay, so it's a little shorter tonight. But closing word of prayer, if you got any questions, if you got any response, that'd be great. So, Lord, we want to honor and praise you for all that you have done already. And we want to look forward to what you have planned for us. But this is your will. And we've got to be ready. And you've got to prepare us. We want to reach out to this community. We have people that we touch every day. We know where the needs are. And we have missionaries, if you want to call them that. We have people we have to support in their mission wherever they are around the world. So, Lord, I want to pray for that challenge and for us to be ready to respond, prepare to respond. So, Lord, I just want to thank you for this group. We want to thank you for everybody on Zoom. Again, I really want to pray for my pastor and healing, rest for him, and there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be on his mind with his mother. We know that, Lord. We just want to just support him the best we can in the family. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.